Well, good morning. We're a little rusty. I guess we're going to release the kids after the offering, so that was my bad. So we're still working on this new order of service. Today was our first launch of that, and so give us your feedback. We'd love to have it, but it's been good so far. Today we're launching a new series over our church vision called Authentic Christianity in Action Today. And the goal of our series is not to just present some dry, you know, corporate legalese, like legal vision or mission statement and pick that apart legally, if you will, but as often some people associate with, you know, corporate type statements like that. But the goal is to reveal our heart behind what we're trying to do as a church, who we really are inside. If you open up the hood of our church, if you open up that hood and look inside, what are we about? What drives us? Who are we? Where are we going? Who are we? What are we like? To reveal our heart. So this morning I'm going to give you an overview of this whole series, this four-week series. And then next week we have our deacon, Jim Haworth, is going to present the next message on this series. And then Greg and Dino follow it up. And they'll go more into detail on some of the aspects of it, and you'll understand why as we get into it. But by examining our church vision and our heart over these next weeks, our prayer is that we would just be more focused and united as a church around the gospel and serving the Lord together in our church here. So let's open in prayer, and then we'll dive right in. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity this morning and this opportunity this year, a new year, 2016. Lord, we ask that you would, as we talked about this earlier today in worship, Lord, that you would refresh our hearts anew to follow you, to give you our all. Lord, I pray that this morning, your work in our church and the heart of this church, Lord, which is you, would be evident and would stir us, inspire us to follow you more deeply. And we pray all this for each person here in Jesus' name. Amen. So the motto of our church is very simple, authentic Christianity in action today. And what does that exactly mean, authentic Christianity in action today? I thought I'd start by sharing a little story from my Christmas break. What did you do on your Christmas break is what the kids were asked during class in high school and junior high as they came back after Christmas break. And so I'd like to share a little story about a great activity. Some of you that have seen Facebook know a little bit about this, but I just want to share a little bit about this and how it ties in to our vision. Many of you have probably heard and read the last half of 2015, I think it was from August, that former President Jimmy Carter announced that he had cancer. It's been all over the news. How many of you heard about that? And then on towards the middle of December, he announced that he was cancer-free. But he had a long fall of a real struggle with battling with cancer. And I read some articles and interviews during that time, and I was really amazed at his humility and faith in walking through this trial in his life. He's 91 years old. And how he kept on, as much as his schedule would allow, he kept on doing the things that he was called to do during that time. Now, despite what you think about his politics, which we're not going to talk about at all this morning, despite where you land on his politics, most people agree that Jimmy Carter has been a man who has been an amazing example during his post-presidency of using his position, his renown, to serve the world in vast and lasting ways over the last 35 years. He was president over 35 years ago. It's been a long time. And his life has been given to causes of compassion, especially through the Carter Center and other initiatives like Habitat for Humanity and other initiatives that he's been involved with around the world. But one thing that I read for the first time in some of these articles that his announcing that he had cancer brought up that I did not know before is that he also teaches Sunday school class at his local Baptist church in Plains, Georgia, every week that he's there, every week that he's in town, most every week, he's teaching Sunday school at his little local Baptist church. And I was amazed that a former president would do this, so I started looking into it, and my family says that I'm kind of a celebrity geek. And so the more I read, the more I wanted to go. You know, I mean, to see a former president of the United States teaching the Word of God, I was like, wow, this is an amazing, rare opportunity. So, and we go to Georgia quite a bit. So when we made our plans to visit family in Georgia this Christmas, we scheduled air tickets just right so that we would also have time to drive down to Plains, Georgia, and attend Jimmy Carter's church. So here's some photos from our visit. If you haven't seen them already on Facebook, this is at the church early in the morning when we had to show up in order to get in. That's a Secret Service agent with a bomb-sniffing dog checking out everybody's cars as you come in to the church. And so we had to drive there the night before, stay at a hotel nearby so we can get there early enough in the morning to get a seat. And you can see here, that's the long line at church. That's at 7:30 a.m. He doesn't teach until 10 a.m. This is at 7:30 a.m. And I was a little worried that we'd even get in then because of the long line already was formed. So we're a little drowsy and trying to fix ties and stuff early in the morning. And then we get through the line and, whoops, something's not working right. Oh, there we go. And the Secret Service agents are scanning everybody, making sure there's no metal. You can't really bring in purses and things like that. And you have to be checked over. Your cell phones have to be checked and all that kind of stuff. And then we get in and we're sitting there and we're like, oh, what are we going to do for 2 hours? And I try to sleep for a little while. I'm pretty tired. And then this lady gets up from the church and she's really interesting, telling all these anecdotes of teaching Amy Carter in Sunday school class when she was a child and all these cool little anecdotes. And then she's really hard-nosed telling us, this is what you will and will not do, you know, when the president shows up. You will not stand up. You will not do this. You will not do this. Secret Service agents are going to be all over, you know. So anyway, so we're all like getting ready. And then at 10 o'clock she prays, and then President Jimmy Carter shows up, tells a little bit about what he's been up to. And this week, his grandson had just passed away the week before. I don't know if you read about that as well. And so he shared a little bit about the hardship in his family of his grandson passing away, and yet that we all go through these kind of trials, but that our hope in Christ is what carries us through. And then he opens up and teaches the Southern Baptist Sunday School lesson of the day for the next 40 minutes or so, and then leaves a few minutes at the end to share the gospel and pray with everybody in the audience. And then if you stay, then you have to stay for the church service. There's a little potty break. And then if you stay for the church service, at the end of the actual church service, then he makes himself available for anybody that would like to take a photo of him. So there we are. So that was pretty fun. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Rosalind sometimes participates, but did not this morning, or the morning that we were there. So, is someone manually advancing me? I guess it's not quite working. That's good. You can just leave it there for now. It's a very unique church. In fact, here's the church bulletin. Besides him sharing the gospel during the Sunday school, the gospel is always plainly written on the back of the bulletin. It's very unique. You know, classic rural church, all the stats from the week before, you know, how much money they took in, and attendance. They said here that the week before that we were there, the attendance was 32 regular members and 210 visitors. And that's how it is in this church every week. So our plan for church growth is to just find an ex-president to teach Sunday school. So if you know anyone that are available, boy, we'll bring them in. But our fallback plan is what we're talking about this morning, okay? So the other thing that we learned was that he and Rosalind built this modest ranch home in 1961 before he was governor and then president. And then after his presidency, what did they do? They could have gone and lived in a city, in a big house with lots of people, but they chose to go back home to their small town to their modest house that they lived in their whole life, that was their home, and that's how they've lived out their life ever since. Very modestly going about the business of following Christ's lead in his life in both deed, all the deeds that people know about, but also in word. And I was thinking about that the other day. You know, Jimmy Carter shares the gospel with a couple hundred people every week. And they come to him. He doesn't even have to, they come to his town, his church. He just has to do the short 5-minute drive from his home to the church, share the gospel with hundreds of people every week. Something that people just really don't know. And what I realize the lesson here is that his life shows his heart. His life shows his heart. His life, even at age 91 with cancer, shows his heart, that he's living out his heart authentically in faith and following Christ authentically. And his life has proven it out. And this is our church vision as well, to live authentically, to live authentic Christianity in action today, to live authentically for Christ, not to live as Sunday Christians who just show up and sing to the Lord on Sundays and then go about and do our own thing and just do whatever we want the rest of the week. We don't want to be a church that's primarily a social club or primarily about raising money or primarily about some political cause or educational cause or this cause or that cause or whatever the cause. There's a lot of good causes in the world, but we want to give ourselves to the greatest cause on planet Earth, and that's the cause of Jesus Christ. We are the church of Jesus Christ, and part of living out authentically is that it takes action. We're authentic. We want to live authentic Christianity in action. Just like Jimmy Carter didn't just sit around in his post-presidency, do nothing, but he takes action. That's the example of what we want for our church, to live a life of action in Christ. And we've been given the greatest mission on the face of the earth, greater than any personal mission, greater than any societal mission, greater than any national mission, but the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. We have it on our wall, to go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. That's what the Lord said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We've been given that mission. The mission is to take the gospel to the four corners of the earth, and the church is his vessel for doing that. The local church, together with the universal church, is here to share God's love. And he proved his love by Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. The good news that we can have a restored relationship with Christ despite our sin, that we can have hope in Christ despite our failures, that we can have joy in Christ despite our circumstances. Authentic Christianity in action is faith in action, and it's in action today. It's not something that we just sit and say, boy, well, we've done that work in the past, it's not for today. Just like Jimmy Carter at age 91 is still active in the gospel. We're to be active. I thought, you know, our church is 28 and a half years ago, or is when we started. 28 and a half years old is our church. And it'd be easy just to think, you know, oh, let's just kick back. We've done our part. Time for someone else to move in, move on. But no, the Lord's called us to be active today in the year 2016, to be active today in the gospel, to be busy about loving God and loving people, as is commanded in Matthew 22, to be busy about the work of making disciples. That means to be busy about the work of prayer and seeking God daily in our lives and encouraging each other and serving and loving each other in a lost world, and to be busy about the gospel in both word and deed. Authentic Christianity in action today. Now, we carry out this vision at different levels, so our expanded vision statement is this: authentic Christianity in action today, personally, in the family, through the church, into the community, with the region, and out to the world. And so we're going to be looking at some of these aspects in more depth in the next 3 weeks, but just an overview today. Here's some concentric circles that kind of show this. Authentic Christianity in action today, personally. It starts personally. It's not It doesn't start in the church. It starts on a personal, individual level. The vision runs through our whole lives, and it starts first and foremost within each of our individual lives. Last week, we shared about how God used faith walkers in each person's life personally. And that was a real blessing to hear all these people come up and share how God touched their life personally in different ways. It was a conference of encouragement and inspiration and reminder of all those good things that we have in Christ. But one of the things that God put on my heart was to be more active in sharing the gospel this year, 2016. So one of the seminars that Daniel and Kellen, I believe, went to was called God and Gaming. And I was harassing them. I was like, oh, you guys are just going to play games. It should be called Game and Gaming, you know, Games and Gaming. And Kellen kept saying, no, it's God and Gaming, Mr. Eichen. And so I didn't go to the seminar, but I sat down with the pastor who taught it over lunch one day and kind of got the overview and his heart, and it was pretty good. But see, I like gaming, just like the next guy a little bit. I don't have much time, but Daniel showed me this little multiplayer game that I can play on my iPhone called Galcon 2. I think it's Galaxy Conquest 2, version 2 or something like that. That's my guess. But here's a screenshot of it. It's your basic, you know, take over the universe type game. You're one of the colors. You play other players who are other colors, and you try to capture planets, and then you try to attack them and capture their planets. Very fast, fast-moving, good action game. So after Daniel showed that to me, whenever he did, I play a couple rounds, and you know, on my train ride on the way home, every once in a while I'll have a little time, so I'll be like, oh, let's play a couple rounds at Galcon 2, you know. And I play the game a little bit, and yes, grown men even like to play games sometimes. We don't have much time, but no, you know, boy, I ran into Phil on the train about a month ago, so now if I see him again, he's going to be like, so you're playing a little Galcon 2, Mike? But anyways, following the conference, I wasn't aware of this, probably I just wasn't observant, but there's a chat feature on the game. Okay, so here, you look at the bottom left-hand corner, see, there's like five players there. They can all chat with each other during the game, and I thought, so following the conference, it's the first time I noticed the chat thing, and I was like, oh, I ought to chat the gospel while I'm trying to destroy the opposing players. So Daniel's like, oh, you're such a geek. So now when I'm playing, I chat a little bit, you know, and I usually start out like, oh, hey, how's it going? They all have names, so I'm like, hey, how's it going, Big Killer or whatever the name is of the player, and they'll be like, hi, you know. And if they win, I'll be like, usually play game after game serially with some of the same players. They stay on. And so after they win, I'll be like, oh, you're good, man. You just crushed me. And they'll be like, oh, thanks. And then usually I'll try to interject something and be like, hey, have you ever read the Bible before or something? And just try to get into some sort of spiritual conversation. And then when I get home from the train ride, then I tell my family around the dinner table, and they're all shaking their heads, typically. But it's been some cool stories. I was asking I wrote down a couple stories. I just thought they were pretty interesting. One guy said, when I tried to get in a spiritual conversation, he said, I'm Chinese. We're not religious. And I said, there are lots of Chinese that follow Christ. I know a lot of Chinese that are believers in Christ, and it's changed their life for the good. And he said, really? And then I said, yeah, you ought to read the Bible someday. And he said, all right, I'll try if I have time. And that was it. You know, these games are really quick, in and out sometimes, unless they stay on. Just a little thing, just a little seed. Friday, I was witnessing this one guy, and then a new guy was kind of in a waiting room watching. So if you're in the middle of the game, a guy can come in and just kind of watch the game and wait, and then he'll jump into the next game. So he was watching me witness to this guy that I was playing. And then on the next game, he was able to chat, and the first thing he said was, interesting way to evangelize. <You know? laughs> And I said, are you a believer in Jesus? And he said, yeah, I'm a new one. And I said, well, I encourage you to share your faith as often as you can. And he said, okay, thanks. And then he said, by the way, just out of curiosity, who are you? And I said, oh, I'm a pastor in the Chicago area. And he said, really? That's so cool. And I said, yeah, I like to play games too. And he said, wow, that's awesome. And he said, I just got back from a little men's small group and learned some things about following God. And it was really good. And then what I didn't realize is while we were chatting, another guy was parked in the waiting room waiting to jump in with us. And so then on the next game, this guy jumped in with us. And I forgot what his name was, like whatever, Killer 2 or whatever, you know. And I was like, hey, Killer 2, how are you? And he said, he answered, he goes, hi, Father. I thought that was so, he must have been raised from a Catholic background and thought that I was a priest or something. And I said, hey, have you ever read the Bible? And he said, not in a long time. And I said, well, I encourage you, read it. Start with John chapter 3. And he said, okay. And I said, I got to get off of my train stop. And they both said goodbye. And that's how it's been going. Not a simple little thing, not a primary ministry, but a funny little thing, way to share our faith in whatever we do, in all those little things that we do. And our desire as a church is that each of us would be living out authentic Christianity in action today, personally, in our lives, as we go about. Go and make disciples. As you go about all the things that you do, touch people's lives in all those little ways that you have opportunity today. So as a church, we want to inspire and encourage and equip each church member first and foremost, and I only didn't even touch on this, but first and foremost to grow in Christ. But we'll have Jim will get to expand on that next week. And but then also to each of us would have a vibrant walk with Christ, maturing in our faith, serving in ministry, but then also bringing the gospel to others. But we don't live on an island, so it's not just about living authentic Christianity by ourselves in some cave on a mountaintop, but we live in relationship. And so the first and most important circle of relationship is within the family. Within the family. And we desire for each family to be growing together spiritually, parents rearing and training their children in the faith and working together as a family to expand His kingdom. So as a church, part of our vision is that we assist parents any way we can. It's the parents' role, but as a church, we come alongside and assist. And we offer, and we do this through special emphasis on discipleship ministries for children, for teens. When we're able, we've in the past and different times, we've done them for college age and young adults. And then we have different equipping initiatives and really pastoral support through all seasons of life that a family goes through. Between being single, the engagement period, getting married, having those first kids, and then having those kids grow up through every stage of life and then becoming empty nesters. There's lots of transitions, lots of stress, lots of trials that families go through, and we're able to come alongside and help and assist both as a church and through pastoral support. And I think about how much a church family can help a family, how much a church body can help a family. And I don't know if people realize this as much, you know, compared to the rest of society, families that are committed to Christ and committed to the local local church body have such a leg up from society, so much support and so much help and so much encouragement through all seasons and trials in life. And the benefits of the church is to a family is so huge. I've been brainstorming ways that we can communicate, educate, and inspire that to the masses in the suburbs surrounding our church. You know, I was talking with our family. We were talking about immigration one day this week around the dinner table. We always have these dinner table conversations, often about current events. And we were talking about immigration, and I was telling my daughter how when I was in the Philippines once, when I was riding by the American Embassy, there was a long line of people coming out of the American Embassy all the way around the block. And the bus driver told me that it was that way every day that the embassy was open in the Philippines. So many people wanting to come to America for the benefits that America offers. So many people in so many developing countries, especially, wanting to gain the benefits of immigrating to America. And in my imagination, that's the way I can visualize it. If this community, if people would catch a vision for how important the benefits of a church in their family's life, I could just lining up around the block around a church to get in, to gain those benefits of being part and active, an authentic part of an active and authentic church body. Therefore, the most important circle around the family is the church, the local church. And we aim to being a fully functional local church body that's modeled after the church in the New Testament, living out our faith authentically as through the church. Not sure if you saw that mini-series. Did anybody watch that mini-series called AD after Easter last year? And I don't, you know, it covered the period of the church right after Jesus' death on the cross for the next, I think, 10 chapters of the book of Acts. So it went through the first 10 chapters of the book of Acts. And I don't know, it was very Hollywoodized and very violent, so I don't think I would recommend it for children for sure. And parents, use discretion if you watch that with anybody. But what it showed really well, I thought, was how messy the church was, you know, especially during those beginning years, how messy it was. It showed real men and women living out their faith in a hostile environment and what it really meant to be an authentic church, a church in action, a church of true fellowship, a church carrying out the mission of Christ. And that's our desire for our church as well. I was reminiscent this week about the early days in Glen Arbor, and before Chris Biang moved to town and Daniel Geary moved to town, there was a small group of us that started to meet as a little beachhead because some of us had graduated college and we were in sister churches, and we knew, and they told us that Chris Biang was moving his family here to plant a church in Chicago and Daniel Geary, so we wanted to be a part. But we were here ahead of time, and so I remember right before I left Purdue and moved back to Chicago, my campus pastor gave me a little list and said, hey, here's a list of some people that we know that just moved recently to Chicagoland that might be interested in helping plant a church. And so I said, all right, I'll give them a call. And so I called down the list, and some of them had already found churches and were content, and that was fine. But there were some singles that had just moved here, college grads, like, you know, that were like, yeah, you know, let's do it. And then there was this one family, and I called them, and they said, yeah, you know, we've been here about 6 months but haven't found a church home yet. So, yeah, come on over. We'd love to meet you and talk. And what I found out later is that after he got off the phone with me, he did a little dance into the house, and he told his wife, I think I got us a church, you know. He didn't even know us, you know, at the time. But we started meeting in his house during that first summer. He lived on the southwest side. So the way church was that first summer of Glen Arbor was that I would get up about 7:30 a.m. because there was this brother named Dindo who didn't have a car yet. If some of you guys know Dindo, he's a great guy. But I would get up about 7:30 a.m. I lived by O'Hare Airport in Park Ridge with my parents. I would get up about 7:30 a.m., get up ready for church, and then I drive and I pick up Dindo on the west side of Chicago, the Austin neighborhood, where he lived. I'd pick him up, and then we'd drive down to the southwest side of Chicago near, I think it was Marquette Park. Isn't that where they had riots in the 60s or something like that? Was it Marquette Park? But anyway, so the southwest side is where this family met or lived. And so we'd go down there, and we'd help them set up refreshments and clean up a little bit. And then people would start arriving at 9, and we have donuts and coffee ready. And then we'd sit around, and I'd get out my little nylon string guitar, which we still have today. And we'd worship together for a little while, and then we'd put on a video, a VHS. Anybody ever heard of that before? We'd put on a VHS videotape of some preacher. That's how because we didn't have any church leaders yet. So that's how we'd get our teaching for the morning. We'd watch a little videotape, and then we'd talk about it afterwards, and we'd share our lives, what's going on in our lives. Then we'd break bread together, just like we do once a month here. And then we'd have lunch together, and we'd clean up. And then oftentimes, some of us would go out to that Marquette Park, and we'd meet people and try and share the gospel with them in different ways. And then I'd drive Dindo home. I'd get home like sometimes not till like 4 p.m., in the afternoon, and that was church. That was church during those early days. That's how it went. and not exactly your typical church. But we live life with each other, united together in faith. As an authentic church, every member is a minister within the church and active in the gospel and active in training each other, encouraging each other, and teaching each other. And I remember that first year, that first fall, there was this gal that some of us singles were reaching out to. And we brought her to this other family's home that had just moved to town like midweek. And a bunch of us from Glen Arbor were gathering there. I think this was even like in the southwest suburb. We were like all over the place. Nobody was anywhere near each other. We just knew each other relationally from our sister churches. And we went to the southwest suburb to this family's home. We brought this gal, and Kim Telcott was there visiting because she and Bob had just gotten engaged. Bob was already up here, but Kim was still down in Champaign. But she came up to visit that week. And that's the first time I ever met her. And then I introduced Kim to this gal. And you know Kim. You know, she's on her. And so I'm like, wow, she's pretty aggressive, you know. But she was great. In fact, I was a little embarrassed because as I was talking to some other people, I heard Kim talk to this gal and say, "You mean you've known these guys for a month and they've never shared the gospel with you?" And I'm like, you know... And she's like, "Well, let's sit down. I got something to tell you." And she whipped out a track and went through the gospel. And this gal eventually came to faith. And that's how it went. That's how church went. Now we have this building and a more formal service and ministry structure. But I think we're still pretty good at living authentically as a church body. But my point of all these stories is just that that's what the church is. The church is not the formal service or the building. It's the people living life together, faith in Christ, and reaching out to other people in the process. Living authentically together as a church, where every member is a minister, and there are some scriptural offices like elder and deacon, but we're all here to do the work together. And we will trust God to use our church to see people redeemed. We're trusting God to use our church to see people redeemed by His grace, to brought into fellowship, to be nurtured in the faith, and then to be built up and excited to expanding the gospel. That's what the church is all about. Authentic Christianity in action together today through the church. The next circle of relationship is that we live in is the community. Now, if you look at that diagram, we're transformed personally, and then we bring our faith into our family with our church, and then out to the community, to those outside of the faith in a greater way. First and primarily, when we talk about the circle of community, we're talking about the relational sphere of each member. So when we say community and those outside of the church, we're talking primarily, first and foremost, about those people that our lives touch, whether it's at work or school or at your neighbors, or different things that you do. It's your extended family. It's your friends. It's those different people that you touch in different ways. Sometimes it might be those that we engage in scouts, or I know some of you are involved in community theater or school theater or some hobby, like Dean's love of remote-controlled flying things. And that's a way, he's using that hobby to build new relationships through the common interest of drones, you know? And we all have these things that we do and we touch people. And that's how we want God to work through us in the community, through those touch points that we have with other people in our lives. And, you know, even if you look at ministries like Awana and the teen group, and even here on Sunday morning, most visitors that come to the ministries and come to church service come because of a relationship. They have a touch point with someone in the congregation. And that's how the Lord spreads out the gospel, is through that relational sphere of influence. So when we talk about taking the gospel out to the community, we're first talking about each individual member taking the gospel out to his or her relationships. But secondly, we also desire to have an impact geographically on the greater West Chicago area surrounding our church building, because we're very visible having a building stuck right here. So we want to have an impact on the community around us. serving strangers and bringing the gospel to the community at large. Like, I thought it was great last month, Awana, one night we sang Christmas carols around the neighborhood here. And it was hard to get people to come to the door, but we had some come to the doors. And I remember just about four doors down, this man with the little group that I was in, he came out, and then he went around and he shook everybody's hand, this old man. He shook everybody's hand. He patted all the kids on the back. He just made the rounds and made sure he got to everybody. I think he really appreciated that we took a moment just to encourage him in song, that we cared about him that way. And that's what we want to do, including the high school that's directly adjacent to our facility, have an impact geographically. So we desire as a church to be a lighthouse to the community for good, serving the community, being an example, reaching out. And, you know, from what I see, our church has a reputation in town for being a place that people can call if they need volunteers. And we answer the call. We send people out to serve the community. I saw that during railroad days when we went out to help with the railroad days parade. The lady that organized that was so, you know, she knew she could count on us. She said, I knew that these Yellow Shirt people would come, you know. And because we had our Glen Arbor shirts on for that. And she knew she could count on us as a church to serve when the community calls for help, to serve the community around us. But our church vision doesn't stop there. We desire to expand out also in a greater regional context as well, because Jesus first commanded the early church in Acts 1:8 and said, you'll be my witnesses. Where? Well, in Jerusalem, but also in Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth. And that's an expansion. Jerusalem is where they were at the time, so that was like their community. And then Judea, Samaria is like their a greater area, like the region, nation. And then even to the remotest parts of the earth internationally. And as a church, we have a vision to be involved in all those geographical spheres simultaneously. Obviously, the lion's share of our effort is locally, but also regionally and internationally as well. Regionally, our vision is to be involved in with other like-minded churches in the Midwest. We meet for training, fellowship, encouragement. You know, Faith Walkers. You think the Faith Walkers Conference. Well, there's not like some Faith Walkers organization that puts on that conference. Faith Walkers Conference is just something that all of us churches in the Midwest here choose to do together. It's done by our local churches all banding together. It's not some separate organization that puts on a conference. So it's all the pastors and all the people in our local area coming together for a week of encouraging each other in the faith in a greater way together as a regional community. And so we work together with other churches in community regionally, but also through church planting, like when we sent out Chris Biang and his family down to Purdue. We work together with, there was already some guys there that have been doing church for a long time, and they encouraged and built up that church. We work together in church planting to expand the gospel regionally. And by working together, we have a more lasting effect. And that, of course, same principle applies internationally and, well, nationally and internationally. As Dean mentioned, internationally, for the last number of years, we've been helping a local church in Managua, Nicaragua. And this is a picture of our first, oh, there's a picture of the from one of their services. And there's a picture of our first mission team to Nicaragua 4 years ago. And then the couple of translators at the right side are with us there. And we don't just send down a team to another country and just do ministry and then leave, you know, and hope for the best. You know, reach someone for Christ, just hope for the best. No, we go down and we partner with a church that's already established in that city, in the foreign city, in the foreign community. We partner with them, come alongside and serve them, so that the fruit that we see, people coming to Christ there, will be followed up after we leave, that there will be the church to follow them up. Here's just some of the things that we're doing, working with kids. And, whoops, stuck again. There was a kids outreach And it's neat to see, built this house 4 years ago, and it was neat to come back 2 years later and see this lady still in the church, still being nurtured 2 years after we had built the house for her and helped her and her kids out, single mom with two kids. She was still being nurtured and built up in the faith through the local church. So this year in Managua, they're celebrating. This is a neighborhood outreach, door-to-door outreach that we did. In this year in Managua, they're celebrating their 10-year anniversary. And they're very excited. We're partnering with our sister church in Indianapolis, and we plan to have a team of 30 people go down there. And the local leadership in Managua is very excited about using a big team that we're bringing down to do a real big anniversary outreach to the city, you know. And they're planning now. They're starting to plan now for and dreaming about what can we do to really impact the city on this 10th anniversary of their church plant. So in all we do with other churches regionally and internationally, Greg summarized it this way, it's in unified faith toward the common goal of reaching the world with the gospel. Unified faith towards the common goal of reaching the world with the gospel. That is our vision, and that is our heart. That's what's under the hood of everything that we do. Well, right now the ushers are going to pass out two guys that I had lined up are going to pass out kind of an overview, a written overview of what we've just been talking about this morning. And I'd like to close with this verse in Habakkuk 1:5. It was an old song that we used to sing, and where God is saying this. God is saying, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. Now, the context of this verse in Habakkuk is that the prophet was complaining. And he was saying, you know, God, why aren't you doing what I think you should be doing? You know, Habakkuk was saying, this is what I think you should be doing, God, and you're not doing it. Why? Why are you not doing? Why are you not being conformed to my will is really what he was saying. You know, we're conformed to God's will. But really, Habakkuk was complaining and said, why aren't you being conformed to my will? And God's answer, this God's rebuke in a sense, is saying, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days. I am taking action that you would not believe if you were told. And what God's answer to Habakkuk is that God has a worldwide plan, and that God is sovereign over the entire world and all that's happening. That's the kind of God that we have. He was active in those days, and he's active in our day. And I think in our hearts sometimes we can have the same complaining attitude that Habakkuk exhibited earlier in this chapter. But God can speak to us as well in the same way. If we hitch our vision to being a part of God's sovereign worldwide plan, it's going to be quite a ride for us if we rest in His hands and in His work. The question is, what would you do if you won the lottery? For me, as I've thought about that this week, what would I do if I won the lottery? You know, for sure I thought about some of these house projects I would like to hire some people to fix up and all this stuff. But ultimately, when I thought long term, what would I do if I had unlimited resources? What the Lord really showed my heart is that I would do this vision that we're talking about today. This is what I would give myself to do, to be involved in authentic Christianity in action today, personally, in the family, through the church, into the community, with the region, and out to the world. So my challenge to you today is, will you be committed to this vision? Ask yourself, if you won the lottery, would you be committed to this vision, to living out authentic Christianity today? Would you, when you're 91 like Jimmy Carter, would people look at your life and say, boy, that was a life of a person whose heart was to live out authentically and live out authentic faith in action in all that they do? And this is the challenge for us. Many of you are examples in this already, but I encourage you to read through this paper this week, pray through it, and ask the Lord to show you your next step to living out What does the Lord have for you next, living out authentically your faith in Christ today, personally, in your family, through the church, into the community, with the region, and out to the world? Let's pray. Father, we just ask that you would use our church in great ways this year, Lord. We trust in you. We know, just like what you expressed in Habakkuk, that you have, you are sovereign over our lives. You are sovereign over our church. You're sovereign over our families and our region and the world, Lord, and that you are active today. You are doing something that if we really knew what you were doing, if we could really see all of what you were doing, we would be amazed. We wouldn't even believe it. Because you are way more involved than we are, or that we even think to be, Lord, because of your great love for every human being on this earth. Lord, we ask that you would refresh our hearts anew and that we give ourselves to you anew. Refresh our hearts this week, Lord. Show us those areas that we need to grow in you, to give up for you, Lord, and to start doing that we aren't doing, Lord. Show us those things, those areas, to more fully follow you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.